There we go. I have a new receiver. Welcome. Just a few announcements before we begin on this Palm and Passion Sunday morning. Please order Easter lilies if you would like for next week. Just fill this out and drop it in an offering plate or give it to me or whatever. Put it in the office. We've got a list of snacks. Folks are stepping up, and I so appreciate it to bring snacks for camp in the community. And we still need a few if you would like to donate some snacks. We'd also love for you to come that week, June 3rd through 7th, and just stop by and see what's going on. April, we have a Love Kitchen on the 27th, and on the evening of the 25th at the Princess Theater at 6:30 p.m., there is a prayer meeting for all the United Methodist churches of this end of the cluster. We're put into like these groups of churches, so that's Harriman, Rockwood, some of the little churches in the area are all coming together at the Princess Theater for an evening of prayer. So everyone's invited, and there'll be more information about that coming forth. Just come and pray for our churches and for our communities and one another. We have AA, which meets on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we've got a new NA group beginning also on Thursday, April 25th. So we're really pleased to be able to host such wonderful ministries here. I'm grateful for those who lead those ministries. A word came to us this morning that Ann Hegel and Jerry Wallach were in a car accident. They're in UT Hospital, but they're okay. They're going to be okay, no serious injuries. And now David Dinsmore has an announcement. Thank you, David, and thank you, Wayne. We'll have to plan a farewell gathering for you. Make sure we celebrate your ministry here. Are there any other announcements this morning that need to be made?
I've got one
in there. Okay, Nancy.
We're doing Lent luncheon at the Christian Church this coming Tuesday. And we would like, if possible, to have at least one more person to help serve. And for the Love Kitchen, we are in desperate need of people to help serve and to provide food. And if you cannot serve, if you can just make a dish or something and bring it and drop it off, that would be wonderful. And if you can do either one of those, please let Kathy or Jewel or me know. Give us your name, and we'll get back to you when we get it settled on how much food we need and what we need to get, and we'll let you know what we need to ask you to bring. Please think about it, because we really need help this on the 27th, excuse me.
We're making ziti, so it's going to be a good ziti. Yeah, yeah. So any other announcements? Let us continue in our worship. The grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Here we go. Hear from the gospel according to Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "And as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying our colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. Then the crowds spread out their coats on the road ahead of Jesus. As they reached the place where the road started down from the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in the response to the hearing of this word? Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray together. Almighty God, your Son lived among people and suffered death on a cross. Add your light to the thoughts of our minds and ponderings of our hearts. Help us to contemplate fully what his death means for us, so that we may participate in the glory of his resurrection from death and the tomb. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue in our worship by saying together the canticle of Christ's obedience.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, but did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped,
but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness.
And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
be seated. Hear a reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 31b through 35. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He now showed the disciples the full extent of his love. It was time for supper, and the devil had already enticed Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to carry out his plan to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he had around him. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, why are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, You don't understand now what I'm doing. Someday you will. The time has come for me, the Son of Man, to enter into my glory, and God will receive glory because of all that happens to me. And God will bring me into my glory very soon. Dear children, how brief are these moments before I must go away and leave you. Then, though you search for me, you cannot come to me, just as I told the Jewish leaders. Now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Thanks be to God for the gift of the Word of God. We serve one another by praying for one another. In addition to our prayer requests listed on the back of the bulletin, are there others that come from the community this morning? Let us join our hearts and bow our hearts before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and heavenly Father, we give to you all praise and glory, all thanksgiving for the gift of another day, for the beauty of springtime and new life that is all around us, the glorious azalea bushes outside flowering that give you glory. Help us to flower also and give you glory. Help us especially this week, Almighty God, as we set our faces toward Jerusalem, hand in hand with our Lord Christ, that we may not falter or sleep, that we might be awake with him in the garden, that we might pray for ourselves, our souls, for all whom we love. This morning, I especially pray for this community gathered here and for those empty spaces, for the faces that we miss who couldn't get here this morning due to illness or for whatever reason. We rejoice that We have faces that we haven't seen for a long time that are here among us. Gracious God, I especially want to lift up Dallas and Raina, who are coming together as one in you. Help them make their vows in such holiness and such strength of your love. We give you so much thank for their love, for their commitment to one another that is made in you. We give you thanks that they have chosen to be united in this place and praise you for the joy that will be in our midst in this place. Be with them, guide them, guard them, and protect them, and help them always to keep their promise, to keep you in the center of their relationship. Gracious God, we pray for all relationships that we cannot, simply cannot, be fully human with one another without you in the midst of us. Mingle among us in all of our relationships, in all of our comings and goings, our risings, our sittings, our sleepings, our wakings. Keep us close to you and keep us reminded that there is no place that we can go to hide from your presence. Not the depths of Sheol, not the farthest corners of the earth, not even a cross can separate us from your love that we have in our Savior Jesus Christ. For his obedience, even to death, we thank you and ask for the grace and courage to live into. Even as we make his prayer now our prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May our tithes and our offerings be a sign of all of our lives as offerings of worship and praise, 24/7, 365. Let us pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for these gifts and ask that you multiply them that they might sow the seeds of your kingdom throughout this world. In Christ's name I ask, amen. Thank you. It was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The religious leaders who collaborated with the Roman occupation were conspiring against Jesus. They had gathered in the place of Caiaphas, the high priest. They all were planning to arrest and destroy Jesus quietly so as to avoid a popular revolt among the Jews. At this time, Jesus was lodging at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. While he was there, a woman approached and anointed him from an alabaster jar of pure nard. When his disciples saw the act, they were outraged. "Why this waste?" they demanded. "Such costly ointment might have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." Jesus responded, "Why do you bother the woman? The poor are always with you. Indeed, I tell you that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in her memory." Then one of the 12, named Judas, Simon, son of Simon Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What will you give me if I deliver Jesus to you for the governor?" When they heard the offer, they were glad and promised Judas 30 pieces of silver. From that hour, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. At the beginning of the feast, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, the disciples of Jesus approached him and asked, "Where do you wish us to prepare the Paschal meal?" Jesus took two of his disciples and instructed them, "Go into the city, and you will see there a man carrying a water jar. He will show you a suitable place." The two did as Jesus commanded. They entered the city where they found the man with the water jar, who brought them to a large upper room. When evening had come, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you truly that one of you is going to betray me." The disciples were stunned with grief and began to protest one after the other, "Surely not I." Jesus replied, "The betrayer is one of you dipping his hand in the dish with me. The Son of Man is fulfilling the scripture, but woe to that man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Then Judas slipped out into the night.
Yeah.
for me.
As they were eating, Jesus took the bread. After reciting the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples as he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then taking the cup, he gave it to his disciples as he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is being shed for many. I tell you in truth that I shall not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it fresh in the kingdom of God." Then having sung a hymn, they left the city for the Mount of Olives. As they walked, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will all desert me this very night. So it is written in the prophet Zechariah, 'Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.'" Then Peter protested, "Though all desert, I will remain by you." Jesus replied, "I tell you truly that in this very night, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times." Still Peter maintained, "Even though I must die with you, I will never deny you." And so declared all the disciples.
Jesus halted at an olive grove called Gethsemane. Then going apart with Peter and James and John, he left them on watch and continued a little farther alone. There he fell on his face in anguished prayer. Soon he turned to the three on watch and found them sleeping. Rousing them, he asked Peter, "Could you not watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch and pray that you are not put to the test, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, Jesus went apart in troubled prayer, and again he returned to find the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. A third time, Jesus withdrew to pray, and a third time, he found the disciples sleeping. Then Jesus said, "Sleep on and finish your rest. Now is the time for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of sinners." Okay. Jesus had not finished speaking before Judas, one of his own disciples, arrived with a group of Roman soldiers and other armed men from the temple. Now the betrayer had arranged with the authorities for a sign and had said, "The man whom I kiss is the one you want." In accordance with his arrangements, Judas went directly to Jesus and cried out, "Greetings, Master." Then he gave him the kiss. Jesus responded, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Immediately the soldiers laid hands on Jesus and held him fast. Then one of the disciples with Jesus drew his sword and cut off an ear from the slave of the high priest. But Jesus said to him, "Sheathe your sword. All who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not know that I can call upon my Father, and that he will respond at once with more than 12 legions of angels?" Then turning to the mob, Jesus continued, "Have you come for me as against a rebel bandit with swords and clubs? Why did you not seize me at the temple where I sat teaching by day? Were you so afraid of the Jewish people that you must come for me by stealth? Nevertheless, your actions are fulfilling the words of the prophets." Then all of his disciples forsook him and fled. Those who had seized Jesus brought him to Caiaphas, whom the Romans have made a high priest. Peter followed at a distance as far as the courtyard. There he sat with the attendants and warmed himself by the fire. The high priest had gathered his whole council, and they began to arrange the case against Jesus, which they would present to Pontius Pilate, the governor. The charge was that Jesus claimed to be king of the Jews, and they brought in many false witnesses, but to no avail. Finally, two came forward and testified. "We heard this man say, 'I will tear down this temple made with hands, and within 3 days build another, not made with hands.'" Yet even these witnesses were unable to agree on their testimony. Finally, Caiaphas stood up and examined Jesus directly. "Have you no answer to these charges?" demanded the high priest. Jesus remained silent and answered nothing. Then the high priest put the question of kingship in terms of the royal titles, "Anointed and Son of God. Are you the Anointed One, the Son of the Blessed?" he probed. Jesus answered, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." The high priest turned and said, "What need have we of witnesses? He's condemned himself." They all concurred that Jesus was indeed worthy of death. Then those holding Jesus began to spit on him. They covered his face and were striking him as they taunted him and said, "O Anointed One, prophesy, who is it that is striking you?"
God.
vain things that charm me most. I sacrifice them to His love.
Now Peter was warming himself in the courtyard when a small slave girl entered. She confronted Peter and said, "You also were with this Jesus, the Nazarene." Peter quickly gave a denial. "I do not know what you're talking about," he replied, and went outside into the gateway. Meanwhile, the cock crowed. The slave girl followed Peter out and said to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." Again, Peter denied knowing Jesus. After a little while, the bystanders said directly to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you speak with a Galilean accent." Then Peter began to swear with an oath, "I do not know this person of whom you are speaking." But the cock interrupted him as it crowed for the second time. Immediately, Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He went out and wept bitterly. When morning arrived, all of the chief priests bound Jesus and delivered him over to Pontius Pilate, the imperial Roman governor. When Judas saw what was happening, he knew that Jesus was doomed, and he repented. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and confessed, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they responded. "That's your affair." Judas threw down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple. Then he went out and hanged himself. Picking up the silver pieces, the chief priests said, "It's unlawful to put this silver into the treasury, for it is blood money." Whereupon they used the money to buy the potter's field for the burial of strangers. Therefore, that field is known to this day as the field of blood. Jesus stood before the Roman governor as the accusers made their charge. "We found this man perverting our nation," they said. "He was forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor and proclaiming himself anointed king." The governor asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so." The chief priests were accusing him of many things. Therefore, Pilate again spoke to Jesus. "Have you no answer to give?" he asked. "Look at how many accusations they're making." Jesus astonished Pilate by remaining silent. At that festival, the governor used to release a prisoner, and some were urging Pilate to do so at this time. Now there was a notable rebel in prison with those who had committed murder during the insurrection. His name was Jesus Barabbas. Therefore, the chief priest arranged a demonstration to demand Barabbas. Pilate asked them, "Whom do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the Anointed One?" The demonstrators shouted, "Barabbas!" Pilate responded, "What shall I do then with Jesus, the Anointed One?" The crowd shouted, "Crucify him!" Pilate continued, "Are you certain of his guilt?" The crowd took up the chant, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Again Pilate spoke, "Shall I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," cried the demonstrators. Then Pilate agreed to release Jesus Barabbas. But Jesus, the anointed one, he handed over to his soldiers for scourging and crucifixion.
Soldiers led Jesus away within the governor's palace. There they assembled the whole battalion. They clothed Jesus in royal purple. They set a crown of thorns upon his head and shoved a reed between his fingers for a scepter. They began to mock him by kneeling before him and proclaiming, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They also spat upon him and smote him on the head with a stick. Then, after mocking him, they took away the purple, returned his own clothes, and brought him out to crucify him. On the road, they met an African of Cyrene named Simon coming in from the countryside. Him they compelled to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the skull. There they crucified him. They offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he refused it. His garments they divided among themselves, casting lots for them. Over his head they inscribed the charge against him, "King of the Jews." Also, there were two insurrectionists crucified with him, one to his right and one to his left. Those who passed by were shaking their heads in derision, saying, "So you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself. Come down from the cross." Likewise, the priestly collaborators mocked him as they said to one another, "He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Let the Anointed One, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Now from midday there was darkness over the whole land until 3 p.m. At that hour Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." One of them put a sponge full of vinegar on a stick and laid it to his lips. Others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come take him down." Then Jesus, having uttered a loud cry, breathed his last breath. Suddenly, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. Even the tombs of the dead were opened. Now, when the centurion on watch and the others who were with him saw all that was taking place, they were filled with awe and said, "This man truly was God's royal son."